You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Babylon 5 ended a great war and united 100 alien races in peace. Danger didn't die. It just went underground with new heroes and new evils to carry the torch.
We need to make sure they all understand we will not be intimidated.
What is wrong with you people?
We have to set him against himself.
It's an entire new season of Babylon 5 with all new episodes.
And so it begins.
There is a hole in your mind.
What do you want?
No one here is exactly what he appears.
Nothing's the same anymore.
Commander Sinclair is being reassigned.
Why don't you eliminate the entire non-home
race? I want a reaching out of the stock.
Who are you?
President Clark has signed a decree today declaring
martial
law.
These orders have forced us to declare independence.
Weapons and
supplies. People get off their encounter-suited butts and do something.
You are the one who watches.
To Zahadu, who will die.
Why are you here? Do you have anything worth living for?
Think of my beautiful city.
Giants in the playground.
Now get the hell out of our galaxy!
We are here to place President Clark under arrest.
Turn around. Very, very slowly.
Hello, Mr. Garibaldi. Good to see you again. I was wondering how you were doing. Have you written, called?
Shut up.
Obviously haven't improved your manners.
Hello, and welcome to the Epsilon 3, a Babylon 5 rewatch podcast. Each week, we review an episode of the 1990s sci-fi TV classic, Babylon 5.
This week, Season 5, Episode 13. The Core is Mother, the Core is Father.
I'm Paul.
I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And we are the Epsilon 3.
And the synopsis. With a pair of trainee Psycor cops in tow, Bester pursues a murderous rogue telepath to Babylon 5. Written by JMS and directed by Stephen First. Ooh. This episode was released on April the 15th, 1998, and takes place from June 24th to June 29th, 2262. And our guest stars, Dana Barron as Lauren Ashley, Mike Genovese as Drake, Reggie Lee as Chen Hikaru, Vincent Riotta as Bryce, Dex Elliott Sanders as Jonathan Harris, Walter Koenig as Alfred Bester, Brendan Ford as Gordon, Don McMillan as Bartender, Jeremy Thomas as Man. Oh, it's good to see Man again. We haven't seen him for so long.
You did a good job this time.
Oh, yeah. Michael Max Charles Chiano as Roommate, and Michael Stanton as Dealer. Uncredited were Haley McLean as Computer and Drew Wood as Student Teep. So, Sean, what did you think of this episode?
Well, I'll tell you. I got a question for you. Why do all the rogue telepaths always go to Babylon 5? Is there nowhere else to go?
Well, I think it's the first place, isn't it? I mean, it's like, it's the first place you go to, and from there you can go anywhere.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. So and the name of the show is Babylon 5, so I guess we have to.
It is a bit of a clue, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, I would say that it seems like the Babylon 5 crew is running out of steam. We're just tired. We're just this is the last season, guys. Let's throw something in there. Let's have Mr. Chekhov back because he didn't get to do much in the original series. What else was I going to say? The girl who played the telepath who was hitting on Bester, she was kind of cute and smiley and stuff, so that was cool. I don't know. It's just, it was fine. Oh, yeah, 20 minutes before we even get to see Babylon 5 in the Babylon 5 show. That was kind of neat because it was all the core stuff. So a different way of doing things. So at least they're mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Dan?
The episode is, in theory, I like the idea that we're
going to other parts of the universe, we're going to see what's going on. But as Sean's saying, it, the way it was presented, it kind of feels like we're doing anything but go to Babylon 5. Certainly with this week and what next week will be as well, it just feels like we're not really supposed to be watching the space station bit now. We're almost watching like the producers of the show try and make backdoor pilots for other series. So like they can try and make it. What if we did like a Teeps spin-off? You know, it's kind of like, you know, Bester is the rogue renegade cop who's like seen it all. He's been there. He's all done it. And now we've got like the cute like rookie who's going to join him on all the adventures. And they're going to travel the stars. And no, it's not going to work. It's just, no, that's not going to work. And then next week will be something else. So it really doesn't feel like they wanted to make Babylon 5. It doesn't really feel like I want to watch Babylon 5. There are bits in the episode I enjoyed. And there are like bits where I was actually laughing because we're seeing Bester being portrayed as like this amazing man who everybody loves and they're revering him. And, you know, they talk to him like he's just, you know, the nicest guy in the world. Why do they hate you so much, Bester? But yeah, it just, the delivery was just off for me.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the a spin-off episode, because this was very much like the Gary Seven episode in Star Trek, where
backdoor pilot.
Exactly, we were sat there watching something totally different with no other members of the Babylon 5 crew in the whole of the episode. I think I just mentioned before we started the recording, I think this is probably two ideas away from being one of the best episodes. Because we've seen this sort of thing before, when we saw our two, I was going to call them Bo and Luke, but that's totally wrong, Bo and Mac, when we saw the Lower Decks episode, if you like, you know, where they're basically the maintenance guys, and we follow them around. And this is what we're doing here with these guys. We're following them around. We're following an investigation into what's going on. And I love that idea. I love it. And it works. And then suddenly it doesn't, because it starts going on too long and it's too much with them. And it's not enough with the Babylon 5 crew. All they needed was a little bit more interaction with the Babylon 5 crew, so they could go up to Sheridan and say, we need access to this, blah, blah, blah. Go to Zach and say, we need some help with this. Maybe go to, well, you can't go to Garibaldi because he's off limit at the minute, but then, you know, we could go around the crew and bump into them and sort of as though you were the two maintenance guys. You were walking around the station with them. Okay, so now you're with them all the time, and you could see something. They may come in on a conversation that may later on in the series, you know, with a couple more episodes to go, we could have, you know, something happening there. It also just needed to wipe out all the bits where the young girl was fawning all over Bester, and you know, because that was just too creepy. That's a student with the teacher. That's bad writing. That is somebody immature in the Babylon 5 writers crew, whether it was JMS or not, coming up with an idea that was just too creepy.
You know, I could just stay here for the night.
Yes. Doing. What was that? Oh, I think it was a hint. I've just dropped it here. Like, come on. It was just so bad. Creepy, yeah, and cringy.
It was not good.
I mean, I would have said yes, but you know, but right, you know, it's, right. It's,
yeah, because his wife's a popsicle.
We will. Yes.
Isn't Bester's wife a popsicle?
Yes, that's right.
At this point, yeah.
Yes. If your wife is in cryogenic freeze, it's not cheating.
Yeah, apparently. That's what she thinks.
Ah, the old clauses. Oh. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was just a badly thought out episode. It was too much with them and not enough with the crew. It's a good idea in theory, but it just didn't hit the mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I timed it. I looked at the VCR, but the DVD player, and it was 19 minutes and 59 seconds before we were actually on Babylon 5 with the crazy killer at the gambling station.
Yeah,
so 20 minutes in.
That's right, and then a little bit more for when they get to Zach. Yeah, it's just halfway through the show is bad, isn't it?
It was a good concept. They had an idea, but it didn't.
Yeah, and the actual murder, the investigation, the reason for it wasn't bad. It was just, you know, you just didn't care after a while. It was just, it didn't. Anyway, let's remind people with a quick review. Well, a review anyway. We open at the headquarters of the Psi-Corps, where Al Bester
After giving an excuse for his lateness, is introduced to two new trainees. They are excited and honored to meet him, although they weren't expecting a sense of humor from him. Reports of the Psycho depression are greatly exaggerated. Hikaru wants to see Bester's analysis of Babylon 5, saying that they have made it an unfriendly place for them. Bester says they only go there now on an emergency basis.
If it's okay, I mean, if it isn't classified, I'd love to see a copy of your analysis. I've been following the situation on Babylon 5 as best I could for a while now. They've really made it an unfriendly place for us, haven't they?
That's why you don't see many of us up there. Just isn't worth it. Except on an emergency basis.
But I thought Babylon 5 is your main assignment these days.
No. Though I'm sure they think so. They have a tendency to put their station at the center of the universe.
But not everything is about Babylon 5.
A new doctor goes on rounds at the asylum. He talks to one man. And who are you, he asks. The patient says, I, sir, am Napoleon. And how do you know you're Napoleon, asks the doctor. God told me. And from the next bed over comes, I did not. There's always somebody or something trying to be the most important thing in the world. No, much as it might offend their sense of perspective, not everything is about Babylon 5.
In another room, a student is talking to himself and quietly going mad. He picks up a leaflet which says Babcom on it, and he leaves the room, leaving behind a bloodied, battered, and dead roommate on the floor. Meanwhile, the trainees are taken to a room where there are two telepaths. And they are sat opposite each other at a desk.
What are they doing?
Scan and countering exercises. One tries to scan the other, who blocks. He has to hold off his opponent for no less than 5 minutes. Then they switch places. Over time, we raise the minimum. 10 minutes, 15. A field agent has to be able to hold his own for at least an hour.
Why an hour?
Because unless you've gone through training sessions like this, there isn't a human telepath alive who can sustain a deep scan for more than 40, 45 minutes tops. They burst arteries, have strokes, black out.
Lauren scans them to see what they are seeing, which is pretty horrible. But they do get used to it. Only a certain type of person becomes a psychop. You have to be ruthless as rogue telepaths don't play by the rules, so you have to be ruthless in order to hunt them down. You're protecting your family. Bester shows them a video.
Hi, my name's Gordon. You may not think it to look at me, but 6 months ago, I was a blip. I was hungry, tired, scared, and I looked like this. Pretty scary, huh? But that's what happens when you're on the run. I could barely stand on my own when the Corps found me and brought me home. Did you know that 42.5% of all telepaths who leave the Corps commit suicide within 9 months? It's true. Without the support of other telepaths, thrown into a world of mundanes,
end program.
But it was just getting interesting.
We can pick it up later. There's been a problem.
The body of the student has been found. He died of a blunt force trauma. His roommate has disappeared, and they think he has left the campus. He is a P10 and is therefore dangerous, so Bester agrees to hunt him down with the two trainees. Later, in his room, Bester is visited by Lauren, who says she's never seen a dead body before. Bester invites her into his room, which is not creepy at all.
Not even a little bit.
I've never seen a dead body before. Oh, not that close, and not one of us. Do you get used to it?
When it's one of ours? No. With mundanes, it's easier. They hate it when we say that, but it's the truth. They kill, enslave, and abuse each other with efficiency and enthusiasm. Why should we value their lives when they don't? It's a little harder with rogues and blips.
But someone with potential, you would never get used to seeing them being killed.
Being a telepath means you're special and rare. Valuable. When they go out into the world, run away from the core, it's easy to say they deserve what they get. Even so, it's not easy. But with someone like this, an innocent, someone with potential, no, you never get used to it.
After more small talk, Lauren offers to stay the night with Bester. He politely refuses, saying he still loves his wife. As Lauren leaves, Drake enters the room, saying that the suspect has been spotted and heading towards Babylon 5. The fact that Lauren has just left and in comes Drake. No sort of thoughts about what was she doing here then, Al? You know,
he didn't even see her. No, yeah. it was like 3 seconds and like she just disappeared.
Yeah, because he opened the door and he said, thinking the knock on the door was her coming back. You know, he said, not yet or whatever. And in walks Drake saying, well, are you expecting somebody else? Well, I hope so.
The suspect's name is Jonathan Harris, age 23. He's rated a strong P10 and was being trained in interrogation techniques when he killed his roommate and fled the area.
Any idea yet what caused him to go off?
A negative. We do know he doesn't have much money, so that limits his options. He apparently used most of it to purchase a ticket for a commercial transport bound for Babylon 5. On the other hand, that may be an attempt to throw us off the track. Just to be on the safe side, Al, you and your team will proceed to Babylon 5. With luck, you'll get stuck there for a while until they can raise enough money to get a ticket elsewhere.
The Psycho decide to hunt him down and deal with him internally, keeping it in the family. Harris has also been trained in attack probes. He's a mind shredder, so Bester needs to take care. Bester is staring at a photograph of Harris. He sees an image of Harris and asks him, "Why? Why did you do it?" Harris replies, "Because I could. You know something went wrong, but you don't know what, and you never will." Just then, Hikaru knocks on the door and reminds Bester that the transport is due to leave soon. Meanwhile, on Babylon 5, in a lively casino, Harris joins a card game, which he has never played before. Of course, he soon wins loads of money, which angers the locals. This does not go unnoticed by another patron called Bryce. Zach Allen welcomes, in inverted commas, Bester to Babylon 5.
Passengers transferring from Starliner Azimov.
Don't you ever go away? Haven't you caused enough trouble for one lifetime?
It's a pleasure to see you too, Mr. Allen. Where can I find Captain Lockley? I should check in with her.
She's busy. You can check in with me. Card. So what is it this time, Mr. Bester? Hunting down freedom fighters? Pulling wings off flies? Annexing the Sudeten land?
Tracking a murderer. We have full authorization to investigate, arrest, and bring him back to Earth, along with any accomplices or suspects.
Murderer, huh? Who'd he kill?
Another psychop. Well, a psychop in training.
Hmm. And this is bad because...
Harris is stopped by the fellow card player, who was upset at being beaten. He threatens him and asks for his money back, as he knows Harris was cheating, but he doesn't know how. Harris protests his innocence, but then the thug pushes him to the floor. Harris seems to have an internal struggle with himself, saying, "You shouldn't have done that. You will upset him." The thug threatens him again, and then suddenly, with Harris's influence, his eyes start to expand and go blood red, and eventually he falls to the ground in agony. This does not go unnoticed by Bryce, who has followed Harris, and he walks away with a knowing smile as Harris makes his exit. Bester has been making inquiries with the Drazi about Harris's location. It just so happens that he's in the quarters right next to them. As a formality, Bester has to call this in to Babylon 5 security so they can open the door. He tells the two trainees to stay by the door while he makes the call. He tells them not to take down Harris, but call for backup. However, Chen decides to open the door using a device he just happened to have on him, hoping to take down Harris while he is asleep. As he sneaks into the room and looks around, he trips over another dead body. Zach Allen is impressed. 5 hours from when Bester turned up to the appearance of the first dead body is a new record. However, the med techs say that the body has been lying here for 2 days. It turns out that the body is of a small-time gambler. Now, the reason I stumbled over that is because I've written down the small-time gambler. And the reason I wrote the small-time gambler because I couldn't work out who the bloody hell this person was. I thought this was the guy that had been following Harris exactly. And then got beaten up. It took me 10 minutes of rewinding it, fast-forwarding it, trying to work out who is this guy on the floor.
Just some rando that he stole the identity was.
But
he got there.
Exactly. But it took a lot of thinking about that to try and get to that point. We didn't see Harris arrive on the station. He just had turned up in the casino. And then obviously upsets a local who follows him, who he tries to beat him up. Harris hits him back, kills him, and walks away. But before all of that, as we find out sort of by having to really scratch our heads and work it out, Harris has actually got a room. He's or taken a room of some person or been invited back to this guy's room or whatever, whoever's room it's supposed to be.
That's the identity that he was.
And that's, he sort of, yeah, he then scans the guy, takes his knowledge of how to play cards and nicks his credit card. And but all but of that
he,
was...
If he was staying in that room for 2 days, why would he just leave the body in the middle of the floor?
Exactly. What's that? I just don't understand that. I thought maybe, oh, that he's killed that guy and then he's moved on. You know, he's gone off to get some money to try and, you know, to leave the station. Or
but he's been staying there, according to the Drazi.
Yeah. With a dead body. Well, he seems to be liking hanging around dead bodies anyway so far. He's two scenes we've seen him in, he's been with a dead body. I was just, I was really scratching my head after that, and it took me a long time to get.
I think there might have been some poor script writing there.
I think there was.
Or it was perhaps in the original outline, and because it got cut down for timing reasons, it just got lost. And then, yeah, we have to feel like we're the detectives as well. But yeah, it just took a lot of jumping to try and piece it all together, which then takes you out the episode, and then you're not enjoying the episode because you're just generally thinking it's a continuity area.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think you've hit the nail on the head, Dan. The I think there's been two scenes taken out of this. We'll come to the next one soon, but yes, it does feel as though a pair of scissors has been used to edit this. His credit card was taken and used in the casino, but the psychops are not allowed to gamble. Maybe he's acquiring new skills, is Harris. Just then, Zach is informed of another dead body that is in Med Lab 1. When they get there, Dr. Franklin says it looks like his brain cells of the victim have erupted from inside. So this is the guy that Harris has killed. So I'm thinking, so this is the body of the, you know, the on the floor. This is the body of the guy that Harris killed. And maybe Bryce was the one that dragged him into that room so he could frame Harris for doing something. Because so, I just wasn't getting it. So that's one of the roads I gone down. And then, so when they came to this body in the med lab and they're saying this is the guy who's had his head exploded, I'm going, oh, it's not just his head that's exploded. Mine's just gone as well. Who was this guy? I've totally lost it. I only watched it yesterday. It was, you know, it's not as if it was last week and I can't remember it. So it looks like Bester's suspect has killed him. When they leave med lab, Bester says this could be bad. Very bad. He tells Lauren to check in with headquarters to see what information they have turned up about Harris. He asks Jen to look into the other places that deal with gambling and see if Harris has turned up there. He is not to make contact with him at all, as he could be more dangerous than he first thought.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, he'd be okay. What could possibly go wrong? Chen is checking out the underground areas of Babylon 5 and ends up in the casino. He spots Harris at a table and makes a call to Bester. As he is making the call, he is stabbed in the heart by Bryce. Bester and Lauren are in security with Zach. There is security footage of the stabbing, which very handily zooms in on the perpetrator's hand. There is a tattoo on the back of the hand, which they are trying to identify, but it's quite obviously not Harris. So it zooms in on the hand. Wow, that's a good idea. Security cameras that zoom in on the hand that's stabbing somebody. How about zooming on the face of the guy who's doing the stabbing?
Right.
Oh, dear.
It was out of frame.
Yes. It was even more out of frame when it zoomed on in on his hand. In the meantime, the cheeky chappy Cockney Bryce, of course he's a cheeky chappy Cockney. Oh, we haven't had one of them for a few episodes. Cool blimey, mate. Is taking his 50 credits as his percentage and asks Harris if he wants to count it. Harris says if he was cheating him, he would know and he would be dead. He just needs enough money to get away. Bryce asks him what he's running away from, and Harris says he doesn't know. He says one minute he was in the testing center and the next, he doesn't remember. He just knows he can't go back. Bester is looking through Harris's file. There seems to be two sets of handwriting, which would be unusual. They find a video file of the last training session between Harris and his roommate. It shows Harris breaking contact with his roommate and getting very upset.
If only there was some way we could record thought patterns. We know what was going on.
Give us time.
John, are you okay? What was that?
It's okay. It's okay.
If I went too far, I'm sorry.
Just let it go, okay?
If I've done anything to upset you.
He said, let it go!
Bester says, he said let it go. Not, I said, he said.
Back it up. There. Play.
If I've done anything to upset you.
He said, let it go!
Again.
He said, let it go!
He said, let it go. Not I said. He said.
Different styles of handwriting, different names, but not different people.
These papers. Different styles of handwriting, different names, but not different people. The same person. With multiple personalities. That's why we misidentified his rating. One personality was a P10, the other was a P12. It's rare, but it has happened before.
Harris and Bryce are spotted by a security guard as they are walking through the underground areas of Babylon 5. A shootout starts, and from nowhere, Beston and Lauren appear and try to talk to Harris. Now, this is the other scene that's been cut out, because from 1 minute we're in a room talking about, oh my goodness, he's a P10 or P12, we found out who he is, he's multiple personalities. Literally the next scene, there's Harris and Bryce walking through the thing, they get spotted by, you know, security, and from nowhere, how did they know that he was there? They appear and go, hey, we want to talk to you. If it was that easy to find, why did they need to go through all of the other bits? Just walk around the corridor and bump into him, for goodness sake. Oh, well, it just, this was, well, it really doing my Swede in. It really was. I wrote down here, did I miss a scene here? Bester says to trust him and they will take him back to headquarters. But he doesn't want to go back. The shootout continues and Bryce tries to shoot Lauren, but Bester gets in the way, taking a shot in the arm in the process. Harris has reverted to his meek self and is apprehended by the security guards. As he is taken away, Bester says, don't hurt him. In Medlab, the doctor says that the PPG burn that Bester sustained is enough to keep him on Babylon 5 for a while.
You know, I don't think you should leave so early. That PPG burn's going to take a while to heal.
Oh, come on, Doctor. We have history here. Tell the truth. You don't want me here a second more than I want to be here.
Personally? No. But as a doctor, I have to treat all my patients equally. Even the annoying, self-righteous, arrogant ones with self-important delusions of godhood.
Ah, thank you. I feel far more at home now.
Lauren appears and tells Bester that his shuttle is ready to go. With the two prisoners sedated in the shuttle, Lauren offers Bester a back rub. Still not creepy. When they get back home, to which he says, you don't have to do that. But she wants to. It's still inappropriate.
Yeah, what is she, 12 and he's 75?
God, yeah, it feels like it. Lauren asks Bester if she can deal with the mundane. Bester reluctantly agrees. She deals with the mundane by throwing him out of the airlock. This was her first, but she has made it past the first stage, so she might be Psycorp material after all.
You know what else is Psycorp material? This promo for another podcast right here on the ESO Network.
I've got to look at which one it is now. Oh, oh dear, it's the Earth Station 1 podcast.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no, no, sorry, it's not that one. Of course, oh, Cigar Nerds. There, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
We are the Cigar Nerds, bringing nerdy sophistication and geeky indulgence on all topics, including movies, video games, science, and pop culture news, all from the Nerd Cave Cigar Lounge. Find us on iTunes, Stitchers, Google Play, and wherever fine podcasts are found, including ESONetwork.com and CigarNerdPodcast.com. So fire up a cigar. It's time to get nerdy.
And the trivia. The character Jonathan Harris was named after a fan who won the Babylon 5 1993 fan club raffle at the 55th World Science Fiction Convention in San Antonio, Texas in 1997.
Wow. I thought it might have been named after the guy who played the evil Dr. Smith in Lost in Space. That actor's name was Jonathan Harris as well.
Ah, There you go. Jonathan Harris was born in Tucson, Arizona, on April 15th, 2239. The motivational signs throughout the Psycho building are typeset in Albertus, a slightly modified version of which was used around the village in The Prisoner, 1967.
It kind of reminded me of the subliminal messages in They Live.
It's not so subliminal, really, is it? Huge sign saying, obey!
No glasses.
Dr. Franklin has trouble saying the word aneurysm, which I sort of listened to, but it didn't sound that bad to me. But ironically, the actor who plays him, Richard Biggs, died tragically young from an aortic aneurysm. Mm-hmm. I suppose if you're going to play a doctor, and you've got to mention how you're going to die at some point with the amount of medical emergencies you're going to be talking about.
Mm.
One of Harris's papers is dated February the 9th, 2264. However, this episode takes place in 2262.
I saw that too.
Oh, I didn't see that. I looked for it. I couldn't find
it. Yeah, in the stack of papers and written notes there. I didn't see the date, but I saw the 2264. And I'm like, well, I guess if he's got multiple personalities, maybe he's living in a different time too. Who knows?
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, it that would have been his 25th birthday. Maybe he was planning a big celebration for that. Yeah.
Could be.
So, Sean, are there any Star Trek connections?
As a matter of fact, there is, Paul. We've got, I can't read my handwriting. It's either Dan or Don.
Don
McMillan. Don?
Yeah, Don McMillan. Yeah.
Don McMillan played the bartender, and he was in an episode of Voyager called Flesh and Blood, where he played the prestigious title of Hirogen Number 3.
There you go.
So that was a big break. Yes. Yeah. And then we've got Reggie Lee, who played Hikaru Sulu. He was in the Star Trek 09 film as the test administrator.
Very good.
And then we've got Mike Genovese, who played Drake. He was in TNG, Next Generation, The Big Goodbye as a desk sergeant. And he was in Deep Space Nine as somebody named Zeph No in the episode The Circle. And he was also in T.J. Hooker, The Dukes of Hazzard, Quantum Leap, and The Flash from the 1990s, just as a point of interest.
Some great shows there.
Mm.
Excellent. Okay. So, ratings. We rate every episode we watch out of 5, because it's Babylon 5, and... IMDb rate theirs out of 10, and this is a 7.5 for them, which equates to a 3.75.
Wow.
So, yeah, okay. We'll give them that, 7.5. So what do you think, Sean? What would you rate this episode out?
I've been going back and forth on this. It has the DNA of a great episode, but it wasn't a great episode. A lot of good ideas, some good acting, some creepy stuff. Bryce get spaced. That was kind of shocking at the end. I'm going to take care of him. And there you see him floating. His arms were actually moving like he was still alive in subspace there. So that was neat. Mm. But it wasn't that great, and it's more telepath junk. So I'm going to go 2.75.
Okay, it's one of those episodes again, isn't it? We come right after Day of the Dead, we have this fantastic episode, and suddenly we come to this one. Somebody's put the brakes on. Okay, Dan, what did you think of this?
Yeah, absolutely. If you've got a really good episode the week before, this is going to seem all the worse for it. There are bits that I like. It has that DNA, just as Sean just said, that it should work as an episode. We're going to the character we've hated for 4 seasons, and we're going to look at his real life. What's he actually like? And in this fake, you must obey, secret police world of the cycle. He's this respected, beloved figure who everyone thinks is charming, and he tells jokes and he's just a bit silly, but he's the father figure to these new recruits. It all kind of is there. It just doesn't, for some reason, go that one stage further to become an amazing episode. And I really like how everything was nice and clean and bright and light in the Psycor offices. And then when you get to Babylon 5, it is dark and dingy. And there was a real different world that we were going to. So the direction in the episode didn't bother me whatsoever. The writing just didn't come together, and there's bits that feel like they're missing, and there are plot points that seem rushed right up to the very end. He just appears. They find him in a corridor. Okay, fair enough. If they wrote it in that maybe he had telepathically tried to find him, that they found him first, but it makes no sense why security got there. You know, if it's just Bester, if it's just his rookie colleague, then yeah, fair enough. But it didn't make any sense at the very end. So it just brings me out too much. So I'm just going to go a little bit more than Sean at 2.8.
Okay. As we were talking, my rating dropped and dropped and dropped. I'd set it sort of around about a 3. Well, maybe a little bit more than that, because I had it around about 3.75, around that sort of figure. And then, as Dan mentioned at the end there, where they were caught in the corridor, I thought at one point at the beginning of the show, they said they had the ability to actually block people as they walk past them so they don't see them. Or they have the ability to make them think they've gone somewhere else or whatever, which we have seen before in episodes of Babylon 5. So why didn't he do that? Even as a P10, you know, when he's in his P10 mode and not even thinking about it, you can do that. There were two scenes missing from this show, which might have helped, but it wouldn't have saved the show. It needed more of the regular cast.
There was sorely lacking there.
It was, yeah. It felt too long, with all due respect to Walter Koenig, he couldn't carry this. It didn't feel as though he was performing at full Bester, if you like. I mean, it comes in, the first scene, he tells a couple of jokes and nobody gets them, and they die just right there. They're not even that good a joke. I mean, it's okay, it's a side cop and it's Bester, so you could say it's not going to be a good joke, but he doesn't know how to joke. He doesn't know how to joke. I mean, he's not as bad as he seems. I'm sure when he's at home with his wife and he's, hey, you should hear what we heard today. even if he's talking about mundanes or whatever, he's got some sort of sense of humor. He didn't handle the come on from the girl that well. I don't think he sort of said, no, I'm still living with my wife, and don't worry, we won't tell anybody, nothing happened. Yeah. Oh, I just felt too creepy. It was, part of it were hard to watch, part of it were hard to understand. You're right, there is the dark and the light areas. I like, like you said, I like that idea, and it really does show the sort of, the dinginess of Babylon 5. We spent most of our time in down below. It fell way short of a good episode for me. I'm going to go slightly lower than you guys and make this a 2, which drops it into my bottom top 10. That's how low I have to go to get it in the bottom 10. That's where I wanted it. I didn't want it to come back out again. I don't want to watch this one again. it was too much wrong with it and not enough to redeem it. A couple of quips from Zach Allen, which, interestingly, when he was saying the things, I thought, he's been a bit needlessly cruel here. It's a bit harsh, isn't it, the things he's saying? And yet, when we've seen it the other way around, when Bester was coming onto the onto the ship, and I go, oh, Bester's here again, and he lashes out at him, gives him all of these one-liners about how he doesn't like him, oh, you're here again, oh, you're going to see a dead body soon, and all this type of thing. When you see it from Zach Allen's point of view, you go, yeah, look at this creepy guy coming on here. But because the show had started with him, you do feel that, you start to feel a bit of sympathy for him. And now we've got a rogue telepath, we've got to catch him before, okay, that's fine. And then right at the end, it gets very dark when they throw the guy off the ship, which is probably about the only sort of good bit that you feel as though, right, okay, they are actually sticking to the psycho being real bad guys. They're not trying to make you feel sympathy for them. This is what you get with these guys. So that's why it's a 2, because that was about the only good bit in it. The rest of it, nah, not so much.
Agreed. Yeah, there's not too much to recommend season 5 so far.
No. Yeah, there's only the one, really, isn't it? And that was the last one we saw. So,
yeah, Day of the Dead. That's the good episode. And other than that, I don't think we've been enjoying too much of it.
No. Well, hopefully next week we'll get onto a better episode, won't we, Sean?
Yeah, definitely. Here's hoping. I'm sure the writing crew and everything's not running out of steam at all.
Yeah.
Oh, but our review of the episode will be a really good episode. So I think you should stay with us and listen to next week's show. So join us again next week when we will be discussing season 5, episode 14, Meditations on the Abyss. If you have any thoughts on this episode, why not send in some feedback to the epsilon3@gmail.com. Three spelled T-H-R-E-E, not the number. Or you can find us on our Facebook page. Just search for the Epsilon 3.
Well, if you have any other problems, any other questions at all, just ask.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.